As parents, we make many sacrifices for our children. When a baby comes along, the needs and desires of mom and dad take a back seat. Parents often sacrifice time, money, and sleep in order to provide the very best for their children. But sacrifices come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. A mom may sacrifice the last bite of her favorite dessert to give it to her child who loves that dessert just as much as she does. Or a dad might give up his career because that is what is best for his children. And I don't know of any parent who would not be willing to sacrifice his or her life in order to save the life of their child. Nearly every parent will be willing to take the place of their child if they are suffering. But we don't always get that chance, do we? David, the father of Absalom, wished that he could have died in his son's place. But the story of this father and son ultimately points us to the love of our heavenly Father and the sacrifice that he made so that we can be saved from the curse of sin. The story of Absalom begins way back in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 18, and it reveals the wickedness and the depravity of humankind, even those chosen by God to be his special people. This story contains God's people committing acts of incest, of rape, of murder, and rebellion, even war against God's anointed king, King David. Here's a quick recap. King David had 19 sons from several different wives. Amnon was the first son of King David and was first in line to be the next king. But he lusted after his half-sister, Tamar. He faked being really, really sick, so Tamar would have to take care of him. And when they were alone, he forced himself onto his half-sister, and he violated her. Then he placed the blame on her, sent her away to hide in shame. Well, when King David heard of this, of course, he was very angry. But he did nothing to punish Amnon. Absalom, who was the full brother of Tamar, was furious with Amnon. And he was also angry with King David for not pursuing justice for Tamar. For 2 years, Absalom hated and plotted against Amnon, that hatred boiling underneath the surface. Until eventually, Absalom had Amnon murdered. Then Absalom fled and exiled himself. Talk about your family mess. Well, let's jump ahead 3 years later. Joab, the captain of King David's army, convinces David to bring Absalom back into the fold because he can tell that David really missed him. But when Absalom returns to Jerusalem, he goes back to his scheming ways. Obviously, he hadn't forgiven his father. Using his natural good looks, the Bible describes him as this really handsome man with the long flowing hair. And using his charm, Absalom steals the hearts of the men of Israel by speaking badly about King David at the city gates, while promoting himself as a way better ruler than King David. Now, Absalom did this for 4 years, until one day he leaves Jerusalem and sends out secret messengers who announce that Absalom was made king at Hebron. Thousands of Israelites rallied around Absalom and joined in the rebellion, all because of the patient, hard work Absalom had done to build up his reputation. Well, Meanwhile, David flees from Jerusalem to spare the city and the citizens a very deadly battle, while Absalom moves in to take his throne. But David isn't ready to give up quite yet. David summons those loyal to himself, and he amasses this huge army. And as the battle draws near, David stays behind, but he instructs his army and his generals to deal gently with Absalom for the king's sake. After all, he still loves his son, and he wants them to show him mercy. On the day of the battle, David's army quickly defeated Absalom's army, but at the cost of 20,000 lives. And as Absalom attempts to flee through the forest, his mule goes under the thick branches of a tree, and his hair, which was his pride and his joy, and was his help in winning over the people, gets caught in the tree. So Absalom is left there to hang. When Joab finds him, he ignores the words of King David and thrusts three javelins into Absalom's heart, finally putting an end to Absalom and his scheming ways. The reporting of this news and David's response is what we heard in our reading this evening. When he heard of Absalom's death, David weeps and he says, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And here ends this tragic father and son story. This story is not unlike the story we share with our Heavenly Father. Sadly, that identifies us as the person of Absalom, the rebellious son. I'm sure you're saying to yourself, "Surely I'm not that bad. I've never murdered anyone. I've never incited a rebellion or anything like that." You might think that the only thing you have in common with Absalom is your good looks. But while we look at our outward appearance or even our actions, God looks at our heart. And in your heart, you are just as rotten and sinful and rebellious as Absalom and as every other character portrayed in this story. Jesus tells us in Matthew 15 that for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. From verses 19 and 20. Like Absalom, you rebel against your heavenly Father each and every day when you put yourself in the place of God and attempt to run your own life. Unlike David, God is the perfect Father, and He has told you what is good and what is right. But in your selfish pride, you have chosen not to listen and have declared war on God's will. A son of the king with all his privilege and power, Absalom decided that that wasn't enough. He wanted to be the king. And we desired the same thing. Whenever we break any of the Ten Commandments, we also break the first one by placing our own desires above God's will. God identified Absalom as someone who was cursed for his own sin by allowing him to hang from a tree. God's law declares in Deuteronomy chapter 21, a hanged man is cursed by God. We deserve that same punishment for our rebellion. Because of our sin, we are cursed and should expect that same wrath from God. Yet out of his great love, God sent Jesus, the true son of David, to become a curse for us by hanging from a tree in order to make us an heir of his heavenly kingdom. Like David, God is a merciful king who does not want us to die despite our rebellion against him. For you, God cries out just like David, "Oh, my children, would I have died instead of you, oh, my children?" But in God's case, he carried out the trade that David could only hope for. In order to save you from the curse of death, God willingly gave up his only son. The Son of God also became the son of a human being, the true son of David, in whom no sin or rebellion could be found, to carry out God's promise that David's kingdom would be established forever. And as the son of David, Jesus also hung from a tree, the tree of the cross, and a spear was thrust in him also. Paul connects all of this in Galatians 3:13, where he writes, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree.'" Jesus became cursed for you. He died the death you deserved. He who knew no sin became sin for you, so that you might receive his righteousness. That's the sacrifice your heavenly Father was willing to make for you, his rebellious child. No matter how far you stray, no matter how violently you rebel, no matter how often you attempt to remove him from your life, God will always love you and is ready to forgive you for the sake of the one who hung on the tree in your place. Through Jesus, the true Son of David, you are forgiven. You are loved forever as a child of God and have a place with the Heavenly Father in his kingdom forever. Amen.